Hey, podcast listeners, still standing on the sidelines when you could be getting paid to play? Well, all your favorite NBA and college basketball teams are in action, and there's no better time to make sure you're betting with the best. BetDSI is one of the most reliable and profitable online sports books. Bet on the NBA, college basketball, MLB, UFC, NHL, and much more. It's your all-access pass for everything. And not only are there super quick payouts and bonuses, but BetDSI's live feature allows me to watch my team before I even bet. They even match any deposit you make up to $1,000. So play big, win big, and get paid anytime. Plus, when you sign up for BetDSI.com using our code, you'll get an extra 25%. That's 125% bonus. So join the winning team by signing on at BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN101. You'll more than double your bet. So don't leave money on the table. Visit BetDSI.com and use code WIN101. That's BetDSI.com, promo code WIN101, BETDSI.com, code WIN101.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. With Cheers, you're going to start feeling better when you wake up. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Dell and I are here in Houston. Lance is in Indianapolis at the Combine and joining us via the magic of radio. What's going on?
How you doing, guys?
Good, man. How is it? Cold?
It's not bad. I mean, it's we're cold. It's not too bad right now. It's going to get colder, get down in the 20s, but it was fine yesterday. Not bad at all. I like winters to feel like, you know, in the low 40s. That's fine with me.
That's fine with you, but not.
Well, 40s isn't bad.
No,
it's going to get worse.
40s suck. Okay. Rain every day sucks. I can tell you that.
I was in that.
Yep.
I was in that flying out.
Good Lord. Can we get one day where we see the sun? What the hell happened to Houston?
It's been pretty dreary, hasn't it?
And my God, this is we live in Seattle now. Just blows. So let me ask you this. Did you party with Alonzo yesterday on his birthday?
No, he did. I walked by him. I went to this steak place, St. Elmo's, here. Me and Dusty Stanfield, who's from Houston. He's a marketing rep.
There's basically one steakhouse in Indianapolis.
No, there's a few, but this one is supposed to be the cat's meow. I had easily the most disappointing steak that I've had at a steakhouse ever.
No.
Not a good cut of meat, fatty. Like, I think we take our steakhouses in Houston a little for granted sometimes.
Yeah. Del Frisco's, I don't take that for granted, not one second.
So many good, and it, you know, there's prime, which is what you look for. I can go to Pete's Fine Meats, which is right down the street from where I live and from the office. You can even go to Costco or even to HEB and get prime, right? This is high caliber restaurant cuts. You can get these big, thick cuts. This was like, man, I'm not going to put anything on too far on blast, but I'll just tell you this. This was like just a basic, this is the pumpkin spice latte of steaks. Super disappointed with it.
Mm.
So. But I did see Zoe. He was there with his wife celebrating his birthday. His wife came in for his birthday into the combine, which is that's an unusual move to have a wife fly in for a combine. It's only more unusual if you have a wife fly in for a Senior Bowl. But Zoe and Denise were there celebrating his birthday. And like I said yesterday on Twitter, you know him real well. I've known him now for 22 years. Just one of the realest people, the most unusual person I know in the sense that he can walk into a room full of oil barons, or it could be 19-year-old rappers. It could be a garden club. It could be anything. And Alonzo comes in, and the room is his, and he's getting along with everybody in a room.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen anybody with this ability. Yeah,
that is a fact. There's no question. Yeah, I wished him happy. And I always have a problem wishing another man a happy birthday, but I have no problem with Zoe. I just call him a mofo. And
then you feel
then I feel better. Yeah.
See, you see, Dell, all John has to do to feel more masculine is just try to
insult,
denigrate the other person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly, that's the way, that's the way you go about it. That's right.
You can feel comfortable with your masculinity.
No, 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 no.
Happy birthday, man. I love you, Alonzo.
No, no, we're not saying that. We're not. Okay. Well, yeah, the whole birthday thing, when you're in your 50s anyway, you know, you breathe another year. Congratulations. All right. If you're not 12 anymore, then birthdays just are, you know what? They're just another year. That's all they are. So let's move on from it.
Somebody said Alonzo's the one who created the you. He didn't create the you, but the you, meaning Miami, he was at the forefront, and he was, make no mistake about it, one of the top three guys in terms of creating the mystique and image that was Miami football. And Dell, you can probably speak to this, although from a fan standpoint, but Zoe was the dude. Like, he was one of the toughest, baddest dudes on the team, and then was an early first-round pick of the Oilers.
He and Melvin Bratton changed the fortunes, the culture, made it cool to go to Miami. Pardon me?
It wasn't cool to go to Miami.
No, it wasn't. Not before Zoe and Melvin got there.
It was kind of like Ed Oliver. If Ed Oliver, a five-star player at University of Houston, if he sparked, and this hasn't happened, but if he had sparked in the same class another five-star or high four-star, and then, you know, they piggybacked on top of it, that's what it would have been like. That's what, because it's obviously not a, Houston's not a small school, and it's in a big metropolitan city, but like Miami, like, it's not, doesn't have the big Power Five range, and Miami's a private school. So, they changed culture by getting a class to stay. Schnellenberger got a big recruiting class to stay home. And I think that's what Houston's been waiting for forever, is can they ever get a big monster class to stay home? And it's hard. I mean, it's hard to do.
Absolutely. And then, yeah, well, that was the start. And boy, did it take off from there! Was it something special that those dudes had going on there at University of Miami? But
you know, I flew. I got to tell you something about staying on Ed Oliver for a second. I flew on the flight over next to his former defensive line coach AJ Bloom, who's coming here, and he's, you know, looking for work because he wasn't retained by Dana's staff. And he showed me a picture when Ed Oliver weighed 300 pounds. Like, Ed has carried 300 pounds before, which is a big deal, because he played in the 270s this year, and I've heard he's at 287 right now, which is a good weight for him. He was in the 300s. It was a lot of baby fat. This is way back when in high school, and it kind of just melted off once he, you know, continued to mature and work out, and a lot of the baby fat melted off. But I say that because I think it's important to acknowledge that his frame might be able to carry. That's the question. Can Ed's frame carry close to 290 pounds? The dirty little secret is that most players, whatever they weigh during the season, you know, whatever you hear them weighing when they get into camp, a lot of players, like Darius Leonard was, I think, in a 219 range. I mean, he was a wide receiver by the end of the year. A lot of players have a hard time carrying weight. Mark Anderson, former Texan, former Chicago Bear, used to be in the 240s as a 4-3 defensive end. A lot of players will struggle to carry weight. So for Ed, it's more important, if he's going to play defensive line, that he be able to keep weight on. Kyler Murray, he's probably going to weigh about 205, 206 pounds here at the combine. The thing is, he's packing it on artificially. Everyone knows that he is more of a 190 player. So when you see these weights, everyone's going to get excited about some of the weights. Like, ooh, look at this guy's heavier. Ooh, this guy is. The question is, can you stay at that weight? Not just prepare for one day on a scale. Can you stay at that weight? That's the question. Like, what's Kyler Murray typically play at?
Well, probably not. But here's the deal. We'll see if he got that heavy and he still runs. The thought is he's going to be a 4-3 guy. Well, if he put on that weight and he can still run 4-3, then, you know, all the better. A lot of people talking about his hand size right now.
I think it's, you know what? I think it's going to be bigger than people think based on the way he manipulates the football. I think he's going to have I think his hands are going to, you want to be over 9-inch hands. I think he's going to be like 9 1/4 9.5. I don't see him with a problem gripping a football, honestly. I think he's going to have big hands and tiny arms.
You're worried about his little tiny Velociraptor arms.
Yeah, the arms aren't really a factor, except if he tries to challenge someone at the rim. I just don't see that being a...
You think he's Tyrion Lannister?
Yeah, but with big hands.
But with big hands. And well, you know Tyrion said he had big hands too, though.
Here's a question for you.
And big feet.
Ooh, wow, 4.39. What if Kyler Murray disappoints everyone and embarrasses his family by running a 4.47? That would only make him faster than most receivers at the combine. So well, it doesn't matter. He can gain a bunch of weight. He's still going to run a sub 4.5.
Right. Well, he still outruns everybody anyway. I mean, now, granted, if he did put on weight and he can't run the way he did, then that's going to hurt him. That will hurt. That no question. He loses a part of his game because the part of his game that was outstanding was that he was quicker and faster than everybody, and he's got to take that to the NFL because his size is going to limit him.
He's still going to be quicker and faster. It doesn't matter. He's going to go from the quickest and fastest player who maybe ever existed to the fastest and quickest player that's in the NFL. I mean, I don't see what the difference would be. If he's still going to test well, if he tests, his three cone will be fast, his short shuttle will be fast. He's going to run a sub 4.5. I think it's smart if he runs. And you know what? There's no one who's going to crap on him because he didn't run a 4.3 40.
Yeah.
He was never going to run a 4.3 40. And you know what the over-under is in Vegas right now? It's 4.41. I'd play it over because I know he's coming in heavier.
Right, right. No. Yeah, absolutely. Any other steam? Anybody else getting his? Or is Kyler Murray the only thing anybody's talking about?
No. There's a lot of people talking about, like, N'Keal Harry from Arizona State, who's a big wide receiver. There's questions about what he's going to run. Right now, there's, the big discussion is who's going to be the fastest guy at the combine. And one guy from Houston might be the fastest guy, Kendall Sheffield, Ohio State wide receiver. He went to Alabama and left when they put him third on the depth chart. Left, went to a JUCO, and then went to Ohio State, and he's coming out early after a year at Ohio State. I think on tape, he's a fifth, sixth-round draft pick based on his tape, but he's going to be about 6 foot. He's going to be in the 189, 190 range. He's going to run in the 4.3s, and he's going to have long arms. So guess where he's going to get drafted? Day two, round two or round three. Talked a little bit to Brian Gain. He sat in front of me yesterday. And we talked a little bit about, some of the stuff I'm obviously not going to share. But we were talking a little bit about philosophy of back end of the roster. And, special teams is a really, really big deal to Brian Gain. And he really believes in that. And obviously, I've told you before, he really believes in physical standards. So anybody you see that the Texans are considering in the first three rounds, they expect them to challenge for a starting position, obviously. Anybody in the last few rounds, they expect to be like Peter Kalambai from Stanford, to be guys with height, weight, speed, and to be plus special teams players. They're not just trying to get a bunch of slappies who can barely hang on as a backup. They're trying to draft really good special teams guys who have physical traits that they can develop, which is good.
Yeah.
That's what you should do.
Absolutely. I mean, they covet special teams so much. You see what they pay Bademosi? I mean, that's ridiculous for a guy who, after with all the corner problems that they had, that paid him that much money, and he couldn't get on the field as a corner, but they covet a special team so much, they said, we still want this guy.
Yeah, no, that's what you want. You want, he's supposed to be the fifth corner, which means, God forbid, he doesn't get on the field, but guess what? That's the problem, is those guys will get on the field sometimes too. Here's some other things I didn't know about Gain that maybe you did. Maybe you've read this. Did you know his parents are both from Ireland? Like, he's an immigrant son.
Oh, my God. Thank God we didn't build a wall to stop everybody from Ireland coming over.
I know, because then we wouldn't have a GM.
Right.
That'd be a big problem right now because OB would pick all the players.
Oh. You trust. I do too. After watching his first draft with just the three third rounders that he had and what he did later, I mean, it feels like he's pretty good.
No, he's very, so he's a Parcells guy, so they have a process and they'll follow the process. I'm not worried. The process is very important. The question is, how do you evaluate the talent? But if you follow your process, you got a really good chance of being successful. As long as you're an average to above average talent evaluator, you should, you know, you should be able to hit enough at the plate to carry your weight and do a good job. Then it's about, you know, injuries and do you ever pick a guy who ends up playing way above, you know, punching way above his draft slot, things like that. But Brian Gain is the most unassuming general manager I have ever seen in any sport. I mean, you know, Daryl Morey's fairly unassuming. Brian Gain is just – now, he's got great GM hair. Great GM hair.
Mm-hmm.
Elite GM hair. It's not talked about enough. But the rest of it, just untucked shirt, some like blue slacks with an untucked shirt and some tennis shoes. Like, it's not – this is I'll just say the polar opposite of Rick Smith,
mm-hmm.
who was always to the nines. Like, Rick was dressed to kill every time. Brian Gain, I don't think he's going to be at any, you know, like Wendy, you and Wendy, when y'all go to your fancy schmancy little stuff and you'd see Rick over at the events or you'd see, I don't know that you'll ever see Brian Gain.
Yeah, but I don't know that I would recognize him even if I did see him, tell you the truth.
Almost positive he has one tie.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break live from Indianapolis. So if you've got any draft questions, Lance is there right in the middle of it. If you'd like to talk to him, you're more than welcome to get in. 713-780-3776. In the meantime, let's play some poker today. Let's play a little Omaha. How about a noon tournament of Pot Limit Omaha? To me, this is the best day. This is the most fun day. Now, Fridays are awesome because it's a $10,000 guarantee. Today's $5,000, but... Pot Limit Omaha is so much fun, and if you're somebody who plays, this is the tournament to be in today. If you like to play Omaha, it is so much fun. $10,000, we'll be there on Friday, and the $10,000 is up for grabs, and nobody's got a $10,000 guarantee on a Friday, and yet what a great turnout we have every week. It's unbelievable. So come and join us this Friday at Prime Social, the best place. Am I right?
7801 Westheimer. It's right there between Voss and Fondren area. I'll just make it the big cross streets, Voss and Fondren. Freestanding building, valet parking, and it is beautiful. Exterior, interior, great staff, tremendous food and cocktails and beer waiting for you as well. Make sure you go take advantage of the best poker spot in the city of Houston, whether it's noon tournaments or cash games. It's PrimeSocialTX.com.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
A pretty slow night in the NBA, college basketball. I mean, we didn't have anything going on. Rockets in action tonight. But there was some stuff. There was some fun stuff. Fran McCaffrey, this guy, he's the Iowa head coach. Dude loses his mind. There's a video compilation of Fran McCaffrey with referees. Holy, this dude, I'm surprised he makes any money because he should be fined. What looks, he's not afraid to go bump a ref on the way out the door, double techs with, you know, running into refs and just screaming in their faces. He is never scared. He went after a ref last night. He cursed in the hallway after the game. He's screaming down a referee, and you are a cheating mother bleeper. You're a bleeping disgrace, screaming at the referees.
Yeah, this is going to end very poorly for him.
Yes.
You cannot, I mean, you know, we talk about players not being respectful of the authority of officials or how they're treated. You're a coach, and these are the things that you're yelling about him cheating and not, like, this is how you, and he and his son both got teed up.
Yeah. He and his son were called for technical fouls late in the second half of the game. The Texans gave Ohio State 6 free throws and pushed their lead to 11 points. From 11 points to 15, excuse me. Iowa scored a basket in between the technical. So, but Fran McCaffrey, his act, I think it's awesome. Well, he's uncontrollable, this dude.
Will there be a cartoon of him with exaggerated lips jumping up and down yelling?
Well, I don't know about exaggerated lips. I think his nose would be the most.
You think they would use? Will there be a cartoon with him in a giant nose? With a giant nose?
Yes, with giant red nose
in France or wherever it was.
Australia. No. I think if he was in Australia,
maybe Ohio. Well, there'll be a cartoon.
There should be. There could be.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Have you ever seen a Bobby Knight depiction? Cartoon depiction.
Which of his features will be prominently displayed?
His nose, I think.
You think
nose
so?
Or glasses? Yeah. It could be. He's got a longer face. You make the face longer.
Right.
That's pretty standard stuff, Dell. Caricatures.
It's not, Dell.
I'm just asking.
I mean, I know, but you seem like your butt hurt.
You're on
about
the wrong side of the.
No, I'm just.
Have you never seen a caricature?
Well, that's your thought. That's your thought. I'm just asking. Will someone even draw the picture?
Yeah, someone would draw a picture. Well, Bobby Knight's been drawn plenty, and with you know his features
with temper tantrum baby stuff. They used to do that about. They used to do that.
McEnroe.
McEnroe a lot. I remember Bobby Hurley catching that one time too. But and they probably did a thing of Bobby Hurley pooping in his pants against. Hopefully they had something with he had brown stains in his pants when he played against UNLV the first time. I don't count the second
disgusting.
Time. That one didn't count.
That's disgusting.
Why don't you count the second time when they won?
Because the good kids won, because the kids that go to school and graduate, they won. No, UNLV was probably fixing the game. Let's assume that.
Okay, so it's not that the good kids who graduate.
You want to know why they won?
Go to school.
Grant Hill came to school.
Yeah, Grant Hill went there.
Reason.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this. Grant Hill played at Duke.
Hey, so here's the thing: the McCaffreys are a lunatic family. It appears in 2006, Fran McCaffrey was coaching at Siena. He was ejected from the game for what he said was the first time in his career. His wife Margaret was ejected later in the game after she had a tirade on officials.
What kind
of house is this?
And the kid got the technical last night as well. It is a technical family. Speaking of, calm down,
McCaffrey.
No,
he's
apparently
get suspended. He's definitely going to miss time. 100%.
I mean, he has to. You can't.
Yeah, he's got to.
You can't scream down the ref after the game. You're a cheating mother bleeper. And you're a bleeping disgrace. There's got to be a little control in your life. Just a little bit.
You're a coach. That's expected of you. They got to suspend that guy for at least a game, if not more. And I don't know how the fining system works, but he's going to catch a fine too. You can't be, because this is, as you mentioned, this isn't a one-time deal. This has been a guy who's had some issues. You talked about that. There is a video out there that shows what a raving maniac he is.
I love him. He's my favorite coach now. If you scream down referees in the hallway after games, you can't control yourself and you get double teed up.
Did he take over Jason Brown's spot or Buddy Stevens' spot as your favorite coach?
Jason Brown's that's tough. I'm talking about, basketball coach, okay?
What about Buddy Stevens fought a ref? He's not number one. Like Jason Brown just yells at refs.
What about
Buddy Stevens actually fought one on the sideline?
I know, but Jason Brown has a special place. I don't know why Jason Brown has a special place in my heart. Yeah.
I felt like Jason has some front for the camera. Buddy Stevens just will. He will just start fighting an official on the sideline.
Yeah, but see,
with his fists.
But for the first half of season two, Buddy was able to control himself. I don't need that kind of control in my coach.
That's what made it so good when you could tell he was trying. And then by game four, he's losing his mind. That's what made it even better to me.
Yeah. No, that he was able to display any control saddened me. So I'm done with Buddy Stevens, if you want to know the truth.
Speaking of a loss of control, when we come back here in just a second, we need to talk, and I don't mean to make light, but when you have a bunch of exceptions for a player's character, you are going to get what you deserve. And the Dallas Cowboys, despite 100 million red flags on Randy Gregory, continued to give him chances. They drafted him. They kept giving him chances, just like with Josh Gordon. This, it doesn't stop. If you've got problems, it can't be stopped in college, can't be stopped in the pro. I don't know why they think anyone in the NFL thinks number two or number three or number four chance is going to be any different when you have had multiple failures of either drug. And Randy Gregory's issues, some of them stem from, you know, personal problems he has with anxiety and things like that, like Ricky Williams talked about. Randy's just not going to stop. Randy's going to continue to test positive, and they're not going to be able to do anything.
Yeah, and it's kind of ridiculous. It's so archaic, but it's the NFL, and that's what happens. Yeah.
He's had more than that, though.
Yeah. John. All right, we'll talk about that on the other side. It's 727 right now on ESPN 97.5. Katie was here from Luxor Staffing yesterday, and you're going to hear from her, and she explains it so well. She's unbelievable at how good she is and what she does for you as an employer. Luxor Staffing takes care, and especially there's so little unemployment now, so there's more people in the workplace. There are more people out there, but when unemployment is down, that means a lot of the good people have been hired. There aren't that many great people, so you are taking a chance when you hire someone that they're not going to last, and then you've got all that paperwork and ACA, and you've got all of the benefits packages and everything else that you have to straighten out. But you know what? When you hire Luxor Staffing, they take care of all that. The first 90 days, they take care of those people. You're not responsible for them. So you find out whether or not those people fit into your culture, and then you can hire them, or Luxor can keep on staffing your place and take care of them the entire time. It depends on what you're looking for. Now, are you an employer? Are you a factory, or are you some kind of business that could use Luxor Staffing? If you're having a problem hiring people, let them do all of that. Or if you're somebody out there looking for work right now, LuxorStaffing.com, they have all kinds of jobs right now open up in this area, and they're ready for you to give them a call. They are waiting for you. If you're an employer or an employee, and you're looking to staff or you're looking for a job, they are waiting for you right now. So go to LuxorStaffing.com. That's LuxorStaffing.com. Find out for yourself. What a great company. You'll love them. LuxorStaffing.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John Adele in Houston. Lance is in Indianapolis. Randy Gregory suspended once again. I just think it's ridiculous, Lance. The NFL has got to catch up with the weed thing. But, you know, in Major League Baseball, once you're on a Major League roster, they don't test you for weed anymore.
Well, you just need to recuse yourself from this discussion.
Well, no, because I just think that weed is... Honestly, if it helps these guys to recover, and maybe that's BS, maybe they just want to smoke weed, I don't know, but... I'm not a weed smoker. I don't care. I know that people do smoke weed. I hope they smoke all the weed they can possibly get in California for whatever reason. Hmm. But I just think that the thought is so antiquated right now. Let the guys, if it helps them.
Bargain it. It's against the rules right now. Bargain it.
Yeah. Well,
you've got a CBA that will be coming up. Bargain that into there. Give up something else and you'll get it. I think the NFL will. I think there will be alterations made. I think the NBA will completely do away with it. I think there will be alterations made. That's the way that I think we're headed, obviously. As it stands now, he followed Randy Gregory during the season. I guess during most of the season, followed rules. He was tested up to 10 times a month because he's a multiple violator dating back to college. He couldn't stop for the combine. Couldn't stop in college. Couldn't stop for the combine. He has some, I don't want to call them psychological. He has some anxiety issues. And there's some, you know, there were some things that some teams told me privately that he just was, they weren't comfortable with him from a personality standpoint. It's just, you know, that's just how it goes. I don't know exactly what that meant, but they just weren't really comfortable with him from a personality standpoint. The same thing could have been said about Ricky Williams probably at one time. Now, David Irving, so that's one Cowboy who was suspended indefinitely because he's been popped multiple times. And from my – I don't know that it has always, by the way, been weed, but I might be wrong on that one. Now, David Irving, he went undrafted because there was an issue with keeping his girlfriend against her will, and then they were in some type of altercation. He physically cut her hair, took scissors, and cut her hair up. He got in trouble for stealing a stop sign during a protest rally at Iowa State, and there's a picture of him just taking it, and that seems relatively innocuous. He was just doing whatever, but he got kicked off the team, suspended from the team there. This is the third suspension in 3 years. Well done, Cowboys. Well done. 3 years, three suspensions for Irvin. And this is what David Irvin said on his Instagram post. I don't understand why. Honestly, John, I just don't get why people think that rules just it just should be total anarchy, that rules should be irrelevant. He says, I'm in the NFL because I'm great at what I do. He wrote this on Instagram this week. So obviously he knew he was about to be in trouble. He said, I'm not in the NFL because I'm an Eagle Scout or the perfect model citizen. I didn't put on a mask or kiss ass to be where I am. I'm here on natural ability. This is God's plan. God's got a testing policy in place too. This is God's plan, not mine. Trust me, I'm adjusting to it as well. Once I step on the field and stop performing, then we have a problem. There's probably truth in that. So does anyone have anything to say about my play? No, he plays really, really well. But see, here's the thing. If you can't play by the rules, I guarantee you the XFL will absolutely take you because they're not going to have a testing policy at all. And you can continue to make a living this time in the XFL because if you get suspended 3 times in 3 years from the NFL, you probably just don't want to play by any of their rules. And I can tell you one thing about any organization at all, whether it's sports, business, or anything, there will be rules set forth. And you are expected to follow them. And if you can't, then you can go find some place that doesn't have the same rules.
Right. Well, yeah. No, listen, you do. You have to abide by the rules. I think, you know, in the case of weed, though, they do. They need to collectively. If it helps guys and guys are able to deal with their anxiety, to deal with pain issues that they have after games, then let's work this thing out. As far as Irving goes, I mean, come on, dude. Yeah, you got to play by the rules. Of course, guys, some guys can't. Josh Gordon just couldn't. He just couldn't play by the rules. Justin Blackman just couldn't play by the rules. They just can't.
Alcohol was a problem also. Remember DUI
for
Josh Gordon. It's substance abuse. It's not just ice, smoke, and weed. There's some guys who just have – who can't stop, have addictions. And that is a concern. You know, that is a concern. It's one thing if you're managing pain or whatever, there's anxiety issues. And there's some guys who I hear about how nothing, it's not addictive at all, blah, blah. Man, I've known people who can't stop. And there are plenty of athletes that just can't stop doing it. And there's plenty of people in the business world. So I think it's when you have a substance abuse, including alcohol, we're aware of alcoholics, and we know functional alcoholics in life, and people who have done bad things because of alcohol too. You know, I don't think, once again, David Irvin had a domestic issue dating back to college. I'm not sure that all of his suspensions have been weed related as well. I want to say one of them was a ped. I'll double check, but suspensions are suspensions. It's a bad look for the Cowboys. Two guys in 1 week, and they both had red flags coming in. That's not a good look.
No. So, a couple other things. Oh, first of all, will Dak Prescott even play this year? Here's the problem. His dog bit a neighbor, And so hopefully Dak will be arrested and won't be able to play this year because, you know what, he's out of control. And simply play. Nah, you know what, I don't want Dak to not play because I love when Dak plays and they lose. So, you know what, they're just an average football team with Dak. They might actually get a quarterback who can doesn't need a running game. That. So I don't want Dak to go anywhere. But if he can't control this dog, then I don't think he can be in the league. If you want to know the truth, let's try to control ourselves, Dallas Cowboys.
You don't know if that neighbor was asking for it.
The neighbor was not asking to be bit by the dog.
Well, the neighbor, sometimes you live by the rule of don't start none, won't be none.
How about if the dog is just rogue and just out of control?
Well, that's you judging that dog when you don't know what that neighbor did to incite the dog.
I don't know what he was doing to that. Exactly. I don't really care.
You're a noted.
No, if a dog bites somebody, then Dak should be in prison.
You're a noted non-fan of dogs. The dog might have been simply defending himself and his owner against a rogue neighbor. You don't know. The evidence has not been laid out there.
Oh, I do know that the dog was arrested.
Well, that's because we live in a society where dogs aren't treated the way they should.
Dog? Oh, really? Yes. So we need dog? Okay, yes. So, okay, PETA.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Dog was arrested?
Yeah, I'm a fan
the dog's arrested.
Dog's rights. Yes.
I think Dak is the one who should have been arrested and thrown in prison.
There needs to be an investigation. I'm sure that dog was simply defending himself against a rogue human.
Yeah, well, really?
Yes.
You're gonna victim blame in 2019?
Yes, against a dog.
You're going to victim blame?
Disgraceful, yes. Dell.
When a dog is involved, I blame
victim
the human
shaming.
Being.
Victim shaming.
I'm not shaming. I'm blaming.
Blaming.
I'm clearly blaming the human in this one.
Oh,
what did
my
he do?
God. You always take the dog
I'm
side.
I'm sure he barked at the dog and
every
tried to
time
get the
we
dog
have
to
a
do
dog
something.
Biting but John, incident, you take
you
the
are,
dog side.
You are a noted dog. You're a noted dog.
I love dogs.
No, you don't.
I love them as long as I don't. They're not by me. I don't care what you do with your dog.
No, you
are a cat person.
What about the guy in West U that's prostituting his dogs?
That's another person who has a problem. But you have an issue with all dogs. Didn't you make some joke about how if a dog dies, you just whip it around and throw it in someone's backyard? You don't have to bury it. Just
that's
toss
not
the
me.
Dog.
I've never I said anything
said,
of this.
I feel
a
like
sword.
You said that.
I feel like you're making up lies
air?
About me again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Whatever. Just toss the dog. Whatever.
No. I feel like that did happen.
I feel like
it may have happened when Lance McCullers was on, who has dog sanctuaries. And he helps to rescue dogs.
It's a little unnatural how much Lance loves dogs, okay? That's all I'm saying.
Dogs are great. They're man's best friend.
Well, for a well-trained dog, yeah.
I'm just saying, everyone, dogs, great. Cats, terrible.
Yeah.
That's a known fact that cats are terrible
animals. Okay? All animals. I can live without them.
See, told you. You can't trust anything he has to say
when
it comes to animals.
All I know is... Dak should be in prison. That's all I know.
Wait a minute. You just said you didn't want him in prison because he's an average quarterback. Make up your mind.
This is a tough one for me.
Well,
Dak, know the truth.
Dak was the star in a playoff victory this past season.
Oh, did he?
Yes, actually.
Or did the running game where they ran for 9,000 yards?
No, it was
actually,
him.
Dak got a lot better when they added Amari Cooper.
Yeah, Dak was pretty good in that playoff game.
He was average. I'm fine with them keeping Dak. You know what they'll win? Nothing, ever. Ever.
I'm not worried about the Cowboys. They're not on our level. Did they win a division title again this year?
Yes.
No,
yes.
Did they win 11 games?
The Cowboys.
Did they win 11 games?
The Cowboys. Yes, actually, they did win 11 games.
No.
When you combine the regular season with the playoffs.
Oh, they won a playoff game. Congratulations.
I think the Eagles won the division.
You know what
they
did? They caught up to the number of playoff wins by the Texans since their inception. So, congratulations.
Yeah,
you caught up to the Texans.
But who won? But who won a playoff game last season?
Who cares? What did they win?
You didn't
care. Did they win the title?
You didn't care about the Texans losing in the playoffs?
No.
You didn't?
No one cared about that game. You know what? It didn't matter. It didn't validate anything.
Wow.
Okay?
You didn't care about the Texans losing?
No.
So you walked in that game saying, okay, whatever happens.
See, that's what you don't know. This is a process. And now you're going through the process.
You take steps in the process, right?
Okay.
Don't you want to win as your
step.
First step?
Yes. No, you didn't need to win that game. What you needed was to get there with 11 wins, okay? That's what you needed. And you got there. You proved.
What did they prove?
They proved that they're the best team in Texas. Yeah.
No, they didn't.
That's true, Dell. They won the Texas.
Yeah,
the
who
shootout.
Won the game straight
who,
up?
The
who
Texas
advanced,
shootout.
But who advanced farther than the playoffs?
Who cares?
You don't care about advancing the playoffs?
AFC, you know what you get AFC for that? Oh, are they going to hang a banner that they won a playoff game in Dallas?
No, the Texans.
Oh, they won. Okay, parade.
No, the Texans.
Playoff win
that.
Parade.
The Texans have put up banners.
By the way, hold on. Dale, I got to tell you, you need to know this. I was watching John argue with somebody who had 5 followers on Twitter for about 4 hours yesterday. And one of the things that the guy's muted for me, so I didn't even know what he was saying. I had to unmute him just to see. And, John, his favorite thing to drop on people is, oh, we're going to have a parade. That's his go-to shutdown line. Is, are we going to have a parade for a division championship parade?
He's no,
we're
going to have a 32 yes. games of 30 points
no,
parade.
No, but you said, are we going to have a 21-11 parade?
Yeah,
what's your tweet? Parade. He's having a parade for an AFC South title right now.
I know he is.
No, we're not having a parade. But we're building a process to parade.
But the process involves winning in the playoffs, right?
We're not worried about that yet. We got steps. We're taking steps.
Wouldn't one step have been winning a playoff game?
No. We're not. Dell, again, you don't understand the process.
So you believe the Texans are going to go from no playoff wins a Super Bowl win?
Then next year.
Okay.
All right.
Seems like a likely scenario.
Let's talk about the Rockets and their parade that we're going to have this year, Lance.
Let's talk about that. Well, I'm hopeful. Your Houston Rockets obviously it was an exciting couple of wins that you had. You had one in Golden State. You obviously had one with James not hitting his magic number of 30 points, but that's okay because the Rockets are playing team basketball and they've got all their guys back, and you can take advantage of that by checking out James Harden and Chris Paul and, yes, Clint Capella. Maybe you remember him. He's back. You can check out your Rockets by going to Rockets.com. Better yet, if you want a chance to take your dog, if you're a dog lover like me and your friend Dell, 7th Annual Houston Rockets Dog Walk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka benefiting Herman Park Conservancy is going on this Saturday, and you can register today. It's a perfect event for you and your furry friend to enjoy the beautiful Lake Plaza at Herman Park. There's 2 different tracks you can choose, the 1-mile walk around McGovern Lake and the Jones Reflection Pool, or the 2.7-mile walk within the heart of Herman Park. All participants are going to get a T-shirt, a goodie bag, and a ticket to an upcoming Rockets game. Register today for the 7th Annual Houston Rockets Dog Walk at rockets.com/thedogwalk.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Went out. We have 2 fine young interns out there. Dell, are they single? Do you know?
First of all, that's none of my concern. They're interns.
Did you shoot your shot or no?
I would never. They're interns, John.
Okay. I'm just asking.
It's not a my concern.
It's just a question.
And I answered your question.
Seem like fine young ladies out there, Dell.
What do you mean by fine? You mean respectable? Is that what you mean by fine?
I mean, they're nice young ladies.
Okay, nice young
ladies.
And
they want a parade. They want a 21-11 parade.
Well, maybe you should throw it for them.
Maybe you should. Maybe.
You know what? Finish your sentence.
I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying.
What are you saying?
Seem like a couple of fine young ladies out there.
And I'm sure they're
maybe they're
nice.
Interested in you. I don't know.
Maybe I'm not going to go there because I like my job.
Oh.
Well, I don't like it. I need the paycheck.
You have this issue. You know, me. That's one issue that you have every day at your job. So 713-780-3776. And part of that argument, and maybe we can break this down. Part of that argument I had with that dude yesterday, JB Tailgater. Yeah. It's all in good fun. He's of the opinion, hey, listen, James Harden only took 10 threes in that game. Okay. It's already starting to change. He was 0 for 10. He says, well, if he just hit one of them. James has been shooting 17 threes a game for the last couple of months. So no, he's already changed. Chris Paul seems like he's a much better player right now. He seems to be getting close to back to Chris Paul, doesn't he?
And you got excited? Are you getting a little bit excited?
I am getting a little bit excited. No, if we start playing some team basketball and start putting together some wins, you beat Golden State three times. This team can beat those guys. So let's start thinking about that as opposed to just James Harden and 30 points. That's over. That's cool. But as far as accomplishments go in Rocket history, okay, obviously the two championships, I think the first championship is number one on the Rockets list of all-time achievements because, you know, they broke through. They were able to get the job done. Number two was awesome because they came from the sixth seed and beat that array of teams that they were able to beat up until, you know, Orlando and get that job done and sweep it. So those are the two biggest accomplishments. What would be the next biggest Rockets accomplishment?
What do you mean?
In history.
Beside winning the two championships?
Yeah. What would be next?
Well, I mean, if it's your that's a hard one. I never thought about it. If it's not championship, then it becomes up for debate. I guess getting to the finals in 86 against the Celtics.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, getting there in 86 and 81.
Yeah. The 86 was against one of the all-time great teams.
Right.
And the way they did it, they got through the Lakers. I would say 86 more than 81.
Right, but then 81 might be probably next.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that'd probably be next. I mean, yeah, if that's what you play for is to get there.
Well, absolutely. But the 65-win season last year is right up there.
I would say it's very high.
Yes. Yeah,
I would put that in the top five. When it's your all-time, I would put that number, frankly, for me, it's almost ahead of getting to the finals in 81. I was young when I watched that one, but no, I guess you can't put a regular season win total ahead of getting to the finals, but it felt like it for me. It felt like it because you were the best team in the NBA last year for most of the year.
Listen, taking the Warriors to seven games in the Western Conference Finals may be as good an accomplishment as 81.
I think it is, and here's why. Because when you look at the difficulty of what you're doing now versus what will go down as one of the all-time great runs in NBA history for a team. I mean, we're talking about a team that's won 73 games previously. And now then they added a better player. They won that without a Hall of Famer that they added. You're right, John. It is going to historically, it's going to be looked at with very kind eyes. And this is another thing. People love to – I understand the importance of the postseason, and that's ultimately how you're judged. But when you play a season, and I don't care if it's football, baseball, or basketball, football is a long season based on the physicality of the sport. Baseball just seemingly lasts forever, period. And then basketball is a very long season as well. It goes from, you know, now, late October, generally speaking, though, we're talking, let's basically just say November, all the way into the late parts of spring and into early summer. You know, it should matter if you're able to play at a consistently high level for multiple months. That should be looked at. To get 65 wins, you have to play at a level of consistency that should be applauded because it's extremely difficult. And that's why there's 65 wins. You know, when you finish with the most wins in a franchise history, that should be applauded and held in high regard because that means you played at a consistently high level.
And the most in the NBA, and they'd never done that before.
Yeah.
And I would say the next would be the 22 wins in a row. Now, okay, I think you could probably argue James 32 games of 30 points or the 22 straight wins, but I'm going to take the 22 straight wins as opposed to an individual achievement.
No, you take the 22 straight wins.
Yeah.
Because you could also say, you know, it's better than James's 30-point streak, Dream's postseason. The Dream's postseason against David Robinson. Like, that was more impressive.
The Dream's
what he did to the MVP of the league, what Dream did to the MVP of the league in the San Antonio Spurs Houston Rockets, if you want to just talk about a moment, then that's – I'll put that up there with anything.
Yeah. Chris points out the 81 team was under 500 and snuck past the Lakers in the opening round and it's best two out of three. But that doesn't matter to me. You still got there.
Yeah, but it's not as impressive.
No, but it was obviously 86 and then 81. I mean, but okay, it was then, and you know, the coming out of the sixth seed wasn't as impressive because you weren't as good a team. But the gauntlet that they faced that year,
it was the most impressive.
It was the most impressive postseason maybe ever.
It's the most
teams that they beat.
It is. It's the most impressive moment in Rockets history. It's the most impressive moment in postseason history, in basketball history, from a standpoint of difficulty. It's not close. They beat 3 60-win teams that year,
mm-hmm.
all on the road.
Mm-hmm.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
No one did that. No one's ever going to do that.
Yeah. No, that was outstanding. But it's still, I still think the first championship would eclipse that.
Who caught them in the? Why do you think that?
Because it was
start to finish.
Finally broke through, and to get that first one is the toughest.
But from an impressive standpoint, going on the road and beating, remember they were also down 3-1 to the end. You know, you had to win a game 7 in Utah. You were down 3-1, or is it game 5 in Utah? Remember when Benoit got ice cold and. That game in Utah, was that a game 7 or was it a game 5? It was the final game of the series.
Right, right. And Phoenix game 7?
Phoenix, you were down 3-1.
Right, right.
And had to come back from 3-1. And then you had to face a red-hot team that just beat Michael Jordan. I mean, people forget that. The Orlando Magic just beat Michael Jordan and the Bulls.
Yeah, but didn't the 93-94 team start out 15-0?
Yeah, that's a difference. Is that was more of a start to finish team,
right,
which
right.
made them more impressive.
Right,
is they were wire to wire good. But you know, it's hard to believe they seemed so good that team, right, John? That 15-0 start, and they weren't as good as last year's Rocket team from a standpoint of through the duration of the season.
No. 7:58 ESPN 97.5 713.7. It's an interesting. That's interesting just to put all of that into perspective. And then you might want to put in a dream going to the Hall of Fame. You know, I don't know, even Tracy McGrady. I don't know. I don't know where those fit in as well, but those are all Rocket accomplishments as well. So that's a good conversation. Right now, though, let's talk about having a tough conversation, and it's when you have to tell yourself that, well, maybe I'm not what I used to be. Maybe I'm having a hard time with my love making ability. And you just have to have that tough conversation with yourself. Now, you don't have to go to a doctor's office and sit there in the waiting room and wait and take off of work and then face-to-face with the doctor and have that uncomfortable conversation and then get the prescription and go pay hundreds of dollars because your insurance doesn't cover it or you haven't met your deductible and you're like, holy crap, are you kidding me? That's how expensive this stuff is? Well, it's not. It's not that expensive because the generic equivalent is really, really, really works and it's so much less expensive. How about just $5 for the first month? You talk to a doctor online, it's $5. You're getting your medication that you need, and you're back in action. All you got to do is go to 4hymns.com/John5. 4hymns.com/John5. So easy, so affordable. The best way to go about this, 4hymns.com/John5.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.